Good morning, everybody. So what's the most famous verse in the Bible? You know, we all know it, and just in case you needed a clue, Holloway just read it for you a little while ago. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, most people out in the world can only quote two verses. There's that one that we just read, and then John 11:35. Yep. Jesus wept. There you go. They may not know the reference, but they can quote that verse. So, you know, this John 3:16 is a very powerful verse, and it provides hope to the entire world. And so, I'm in no way going to diminish the power of that verse this morning. Because it is very important. But one day, whenever I was noticing that verse and thinking about it, it just, because I have a strange mind, caused me to wonder what other verses in chapter 3 and verse 16 of other books might say. You know, are they just as important? Why this verse? It's like, you know, suppose I just randomly go through and look at all of the books of the New Testament and look in chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I get off easy on some of them because some books don't have a chapter 3, but most of them do. That's a fairly early chapter. And so, first of all, I just want to point out here, there's no significance to the chapter 3 and verse 16. Those were just markers put in there by humans. So it has nothing to do with the text of the Bible as far as what the verse is. That's just an easy reference for us to use so that if I want you to read a scripture, I can give you the reference and you can quickly flip to it. So please don't get the idea there's any kind of cosmic significance to chapter 3 and verse 16. But I did want to look at some of these. You know, John 3:16 lays a good foundation for some of the other ones because it is a critical verse here that talks about why God did what he did and why Jesus came to earth. But there are some others that complement this one pretty well. And I group them into several major groupings here. Right at first, I got this grouping that just talks about the person of Jesus, who Jesus is. And so I started off with the book of Luke. And I'm not going to go through and put every verse and talk about them up here. I'm just going to kind of briefly summarize most of them. And I'll single out a few of them of importance. But in Luke 3:16, we read about John the Baptist that's talking about the coming of the Messiah. And he talks about how important that the baptism is of the water and of the Spirit. So that's kind of a key verse. And in 2 Corinthians 3:16, it says that when we turn to Jesus, the mysteries of salvation are revealed. And so that's also important that the mystery of salvation is something that shouldn't remain a mystery. That's why we're here, is to tell people that mystery. And that's, in fact, what Russ has been doing in his series, is telling you the plan of salvation so that you can cut through all of the misinformation that we get from the world about how people are saved and what that process is. In 1 Timothy 3:16, this one's a very critical one because it actually gives us a short summary of the gospel. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, and was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory." So this one, I thought, was in the running for being even more significant than John 3:16, because this one tells a little bit more completely about what the gospel meaning is. Okay, but then going back here, I've got another grouping of verses, and so I'll start going through some of the others here. Some of them talk about the things that Jesus did. So Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 says that Jesus was baptized as an example for us to follow. So that one's a very important verse. Mark 3:16 talks about the calling of the apostles, and specifically Peter, and who was, you know, kind of considered to be one of the foremost apostles. And so a very important verse in there. Then we got the book of Romans that says, without Jesus, we are doomed to destruction and misery. So so very important concept that's in there. In Galatians, it says Jesus came to us as the Messiah through Abraham's descendants, just as he promised, and set us free from the law of Moses. And this is critical because this is something that the entire Old Testament is pointing toward Jesus. And it's important that we recognize that God made these prophecies all throughout the Old Testament, and that he told us that the Messiah was going to come through Abraham. And later on he was going to come through Jacob, that he was going to come from the tribe of Judah, that he was going to be from the line of David. He kept letting us know what this line was going to be, where the Messiah was going to come. And so this was a very important one that tells us that it happened just as it was promised. Okay, in 2 Thessalonians, it says that the Lord is with us and gives us peace. And then in the book of 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And this is a verse that we use a lot. Another powerful verse here that talks about why Jesus felt the need to be sacrificed, and what our response is. What is it? You know, it's nice that Jesus did that and now he saved us, but now then what do we do as a result of what he did? And it says that we ought to be ready to lay down our lives for our brothers. And that doesn't necessarily mean being killed for them. That means giving your life for your brothers while you're alive, which, you know, you could argue is even harder, because that means committing your life to taking the gospel to all the people that are your brothers and sisters here on earth. Okay, so the rest of the New Testament books, we go on and talk about Christian living. So we start in the book of Acts, and we talk about the importance of faith in the healing of a lame man in the book of Acts. In 1 Corinthians, it says that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God is inside you. That's important just because whenever we are here living our lives, sometimes we tend to forget that we're God's creation and that God's living in us. Sometimes we think the things that we do when no one's around are anonymous, but they're not. The Spirit is there inside us all the time, and is there for guidance, is there for help. That's a comforting feeling, knowing that the Spirit is with us all the time. In the book of Ephesians, Paul prays that we'll be strengthened through the Holy Spirit. So it's not just that we have the Holy Spirit inside us. It's not there as a mere observer. He's there to provide the strength that we need in order to do all of the difficult things that we're sometimes asked to do. So in the book of Philippians, it says that although we've got the hope of salvation, that we don't yet have it. You don't want to get into the mindset of I already own this salvation, that it's already been promised to me, it's already been given to me. Faith is something that we have to continue with for our entire Christian lives. And it is possible for us to wander away from that faith. And the Bible teaches that very clearly. So we need to stay steadfast throughout our entire lives as Christians. Okay, Colossians says that the Word of God brings us wisdom. And 2 Timothy is another very important one. It says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is one of those that in the King James we heard that all Scripture is inspired of God. But the actual text, the words that are used there in the original language, in the Greek language, says God-breathed. And so it's not... It's a little bit deeper than what we just think of as inspiring. Sometimes we see movies and it says it was inspired by real events, which to me means, okay, you kind of took an event and then you took a lot of liberty with it. You know, it's might have been inspired. This gave me an idea, in other words. That's kind of what we think here, but that's not what the text means there, that all Scripture is God-breathed. So that means even though Paul or Peter or Mark may have physically put these words down on the paper, that the Holy Spirit was guiding what it is that they were writing or that they were dictating, that even though the Holy Spirit wasn't telling them word by word what to say, because we can see their own personality and writing styles in there, the content was being given to them. And so that we can trust what we read in Scripture. Okay, as we continue in Hebrews, we read about the Israelites, that they were rebellious whenever they left Egypt. And this is a reminder to us that in some ways we all get that way. We all get rebellious. Sometimes we don't like to be told what to do. And so that makes it difficult to turn our lives over and make ourselves a servant to Jesus, because we like to be in control. We like to be in control of our own lives, and it's hard to let that go. But it's easier knowing that we're turning over that control to somebody that loves us, to somebody that cares about us, and somebody that wants the best for us, and that has better judgment than we do. Well, sometimes when we make our own decisions, we realize just how bad our judgment can be and how limited that it can be. Okay, in the book of James, we read that envy and self-centeredness leads to confusion and to evil. And so that's something that's the reason why we need to turn our lives over to God and let Him do the directing, because when we're left on our own, we start following the wrong path. 1 Peter 3:16 says, if we do what's right, no one will be able to slander us. And that's important. We live in a society today when people are more than ready to say bad things about you, things that are untrue. And so he says in here, if you'll just do what's right, nobody can really slander you. Even if somebody tells lies about you, the people that know you won't believe them because they know what you're really like. So live your life so that people can't slander you, because it won't be believed by anybody that knows you. Okay, 2 Peter 3:16 says, although some of the things that Paul writes are difficult to understand and are sometimes used incorrectly by false teachers, they're Scripture. And Paul was a very sophisticated writer. He was a very educated man, and especially in the Scriptures and in the Old Testament Scriptures. And when we read the books that he writes, they get very deep. And they get sometimes very complex, and he deals with complex topics. But they're Scripture, and they are important. The reason why they're so complex is because Paul had a very deep understanding of the gospel as well as the Old Testament Scriptures, and he was able to provide almost a unique way of blending those together and teaching you the gospel based on those Scriptures. Okay, finally, Revelation 3:16 says we can't be lukewarm as Christians. And that's really easy for us to do. Sometimes we feel like, you know, mediocrity is a good, comfortable place to be. you know, we'll come here every week and we'll do a few things here and there, but let's not get too into this Jesus thing or this Bible thing. And that's how a lot of people are. They're like, all right, everything in moderation. You know, we don't want to get too into this. We've got lives to lead as well. And that's not what God is wanting. We had a whole series here about how Jesus wanted followers. Not fans, but followers. People that were willing to drop everything else, to leave their lives, and to follow him. And that's what he still wants today. It doesn't mean quit your job. It doesn't mean disown all your friends. But it means start living your life with God as the focus. So if you're at your job, what can you do for God while you're there? What can you do when you're out and about, when you're seeing your neighbors, when you're talking with your family? At all times, we are Christians. And so we need to live our lives as an example and be ready to share that message as the example. So I went through all of these verses, and they're all important, and they all give you a picture of Christianity. They give you a slice of Christianity in there. And if we combine all of these verses in chapter 3, verse 16, we learn a lot about Jesus. We learn a lot about the message that he brought to the world. But they don't have the whole message. And that's the problem when we start singling out verses like John 3:16, is sometimes we place so much emphasis on a few verses that people hear that and they think, okay, I've got this Christianity thing. Each person in here has their own area of expertise. And sometimes whenever you tell somebody what you do, they will name one little fact about it and they'll say, as if to say, yeah, I know all about that. I'm an expert just like you are on what you do, because I know this one little fact on there. But you know differently. You know there's a lot more to it than that one little fact that everybody knows. And there's a lot more to the gospel than John 3:16. There's a lot more to the gospel than all of the 3:16s throughout the New Testament. We have to take it all as the complete gospel. And we can't single out portions and say, okay, you can forget all that other stuff. This is all you need to know, is that if you believe, you're going to be saved. And, you know, I don't even know why they wrote all the rest of the Gospels. I don't know why Paul had to write all those letters, because all you got to do is believe and you'll be saved. And that's what some people boil it down to. So there is no individual scripture. Not John 3:16, not even 1 Timothy 3:16, that kind of gave you a summary of the whole gospel. Even that's not complete. It's more complete than John 3:16, but it doesn't tell you the whole story, because that's why we needed the whole message. So we can't go through and pull out a verse out of context. And sometimes when we're trying to argue with people or trying to convince them of something, that's what we'll do. We'll take one little verse and not place it in any kind of a context and say, okay, see, this proves it. And other people will try to do that to you as well, of their just taking that one verse. But it's important to have that whole Bible, not even just the New Testament. We can't really comprehend the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament, because that set the stage. That told us why Jesus needed to come. And so we can't even just take the New Testament. We need to understand the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It's all important. There's not a verse in the Bible that doesn't need to be there. It's all there for some reason. It tells you something that you need to know. And that's why people like Russ are great at being able to just flip open the Bible and put their finger down and preach a sermon on wherever they put their finger down. Because they can put it into context. And they can tell you why that verse was there. And because they are there, because they're important. Whenever we just single out a few verses, we leave out a lot of important details. We leave out the part, if we just read these 3:16s, about creation. We wouldn't know why or how God created the world. We wouldn't know most of the life of Jesus, and we wouldn't know a whole lot about the salvation that he brought to us by just reading those single verses. And so our job here as the shepherds are to make sure that you know the Bible in context, that you have the message. That's why Russ is spending so much time making sure that you don't just know the plan of salvation and, you know, I can recite off the steps, but that you understand why each of those steps are important, because a lot of those steps get left out of the world's message. Even when people think they're preaching the gospel, so many times they forget really important things. They concentrate on believing, maybe even faith, and forget all that part about repenting, changing your life, and being baptized into Christ. Sometimes they leave all that part out because they haven't read the whole message, and they haven't taken that whole message in context. So, as much fun as it was going through reading just chapter 3 and verse 16, the important takeaway from that is not what you got out of those verses, but what you didn't get. The parts that were in between those important verses that set the context, that give you the details, that tell you the rest of the story on there. So, you've got an opportunity this morning. You've got an opportunity to get your life right. If you've been living your life based on just a few of these verses, you've got an opportunity this morning to repent, something that a lot of people leave out, the idea that sometimes we need to change. When we're non-Christians, we all need to change, and we need to do things differently. We need to put Jesus first in our lives. And if you haven't been doing that, you've got a possibility to come forward, to receive the prayers of the church, and to have people, have your friends and your family that are in this room to be able to help you with whatever it is that you need. You also have an opportunity this morning, if you're not a child of God, if you haven't obeyed the message, if you haven't even listened to John 3:16 and done what it said, much less the rest of the New Testament, you've got an opportunity this morning to change that, to give your life a new direction and point it in Christ's direction and let him guide you. Let the Holy Spirit, who will join you whenever you decide to be baptized, the Holy Spirit will start living inside you, will start strengthening you, guiding you, and helping you toward that journey to salvation. If you're watching with us online and you have a prayer request, Wesley is going to be leading singing, so don't send your text to him because he's going to be busy. So you can text me if you want. But if you get to thinking about it later and you decide later on that you would like to obey the gospel, that you'd like to give your life to Christ and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you can text either one of us once Wesley's done singing up here. He'll be glad to respond, and so will I, on helping you and guiding you so that you can get started as a child of God. So whatever your need is, I encourage you to come as Brother Wesley comes up and sings our song.